You're listening to episode 232 of the 200 Churches podcast.
We're not even requiring you to work with that church and to do that with that church, but we're asking, could you come to the table and possibly work together? And that might be a food program. It might be a backpack program. It might be a housing thing. And maybe one or two churches are excelling at it in your community. What if your church jumped on with them and said, hey, you're doing a great job with this. We want to help just supply volunteers. Imagine the witness you'd be in the community. Imagine what other churches and other community leaders would say that, hey, those two churches that we would think are unlikely ever to be together are actually coming together to serve the people in our city better.
Welcome to the 200 Churches podcast, where every Wednesday we produce a fresh episode of ministry encouragement for pastors of small churches. Now here are two guys who, like you, serve in the trenches of small church ministry, the thunder and lightning of ministry podcasts, Jeff and Johnny.
Welcome to the 200 Churches podcast. My name is Jeff Cady. I'm here with my good friend,
Johnny Craig. You know, Jeff, we're burning the candle at both ends on the podcast lately.
You mean everybody's upset?
Yeah, right. Soon. We're doing early morning recordings, and we're doing late night recordings.
We have to fit them in when we can fit them in,
Johnny. I can't keep up with this, man. I'm sorry. This pace of life is destroying me.
So we're in the summertime now, right? It's almost the 4th of July.
Oh, there you go.
And in order to get some of these summertime episodes in,
it takes some work.
We had to work. And I told Johnny, I said, Johnny, I saw him this evening. I said, Johnny, tonight, yep, you are going to put your wife to bed. You're going to say goodnight to her.
What's your wife? Tucked her in and gave her a warm glass of milk.
And then you're going to come over to my house because I'm a man. I don't care if you come over at 11, 1 a.m., 3 a.m. I'm down here. I'm ready to go.
I know that this is not the latest we've ever recorded, but it does feel late to me. I have 4 kids now. I'm sure the last time we recorded this late, I did not have 4 kids.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a different world.
I don't know. But I'm a man, so we're going to record when we're going to record.
You're a man, Mike Gundy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who?
Mike Gundy?
Mike Gundy?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come after me.
Yeah, come after me. He's a kid. These are kids. Oh, okay. If you don't know that reference, it's not that important.
Sorry.
Today, we have back with us
a
special guest from the North Country, Zach Bauer. Not to be confused. Come on.
Don't do it.
Okay. So Zach Bauer is here with us from Red Door Church in Sioux Falls.
Hey-o.
South Dakota.
Last time we had Zach on, I went on and on about how he came to the studio to record with us and how meaningful that was. So I won't do that again this time, but I will just say it again. It's really great when people do that.
And when he came that day, it was snowing in Sioux Falls.
Oh, my goodness, crazy.
So, you know, this was just a little while ago, but this is a fresh episode.
Fresh to death.
I've had it cryogenically stored.
Oh, there you go.
In the 200 Churches audio vault.
Oh, there you go.
Absolutely, man.
Things get lost in that vault.
This thing, I thawed it out. We've warmed it up for today, and it is fresh.
It's like a Salisbury steak.
You can
just
smell Zach's breath on this episode.
Jeez,
it's awesome. Hey, Zach is talking about getting together with the churches in his community, trying to figure out how the body of Christ corporately can love Sioux Falls.
Yeah, really interesting episode to hear him talking about, the ecumenical angle of this, where, you know, we're getting together with other churches and we're going to work together. But then also just, you know, the church being the church and digging deep on a question and saying, what does poverty look like in Sioux Falls? What can we do about poverty in Sioux Falls? And realizing, maybe we've been treating poverty like it is XYZ when really it's ABC. And how revolutionary that is for churches, and then where they go with that information, which you'll hear, he talks a lot about kids, right? And the next generation.
Right, right.
And it's really interesting to kind of get that perspective. And this episode was a lot of fun for me. I wanted to press further into certain directions. We didn't, you know, for various reasons, but Zach is doing really great things in Sioux Falls with Red Door Church and this whole movement that he's kind of swept up in, and it was great to talk to him about it.
And the cool thing is he's a practitioner.
Yes.
And as we talked, you could tell it was almost like he's just come from some of these meetings and conversations just a few days earlier.
Yes.
So on this podcast, we're bringing you people whose hands are still dirty from the work that they're doing in helping people, serving people, doing the sometimes the dirty work of ministry,
yeah.
right? Where you
yep.
got to get your hands dirty. You can't always just stay clean sitting in an office.
Right.
And that's what I love about the people we talk to. They're out there. They're involved. They're kind of giving us reports from the front lines.
Yes.
And Zach absolutely is doing that today.
It's awesome. I love having real life small church pastors on the podcast. It keeps us grounded in what we're about, which is encouragement for pastors of small churches. We have thinkers. Last week, a couple weeks ago, we had Carolyn Custis James. She was phenomenal. We have Valerie Bell, CEO of Awana. These are amazing interviews for us to do. I love it. We grow so much. But to come back to a guy like Zach, who's doing it, right? Who's
yeah.
on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what we are about, you, the small church pastor. We're about Zach, the small church pastor. And we love being able to talk to him. So let's just get out of the way and get to Zach Bauer.
Zach Bauer, thank you for joining us again. Zach Bauer, better to have you here in the studio. Hey, the last time you were on, you brought the heat on practical ministry stuff. It was in-house stuff, though. It was small groups. We talked about serving. We talked about children's ministry. And today we want to talk to you about outreach, about getting beyond the four walls of your church. And how old is your church again?
Just over 4 years now.
Okay, and have you found this is interesting? Have you found in 4 years that it's been the type of thing where you tend to draw in, where you tend to not reach out as much after a couple years, or have you not experienced that?
We were mobile for a couple years. I'd noticed it when we got more of a permanent place.
Hmm. Okay,
you get comfortable with just doing church.
Yeah.
We've always been fairly outreach-minded,
okay.
But you get easy and comfortable with just doing what you do inside the church.
So, Johnny, I think this episode is going to be good for pastors that their people are comfortable, and
yeah.
maybe they're comfortable.
Yes,
you know, and you do what you do in the church. I have struggled with that. I can't tell you how many times I've said to myself, I've got to get myself out of the church, off the property,
right.
away from church people. I've got to build new connections in the community, right? Because your time can be filled up with
our
church
tithing,
people.
That's what our tithing yeah. members love to hear,
mm-hmm.
that we need to get away from that.
Away.
Right. That's what they love to hear.
Hey, there's a perfect example of why it doesn't happen. Hey,
yeah, that is. Absolutely.
Maybe sometimes because we got tithing members,
yeah, right,
you know?
Right, right.
Yesterday morning after the service, I was in the lobby. And one of our longest time members came up to me and wanted to talk to me about the message.
I saw this happening.
Yeah, and you know, you have that tension, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about, that tension mm-hmm. of wanting to say to them, you know, that, you know, you're going to heaven, everything's wonderful for you. I don't want to talk to you right now because right now everyone else is here in the lobby.
I think you should have said that.
And they're only here for
a
short time. Well, we kept it brief. It wasn't too long. But whenever I talk to somebody who's
have an interference person,
been around for a while, yeah, that's right. Hey, Pastor, did you meet so-and-so?
Yeah.
So, Pastor, maybe your church is inward-focused, and you know it is, and maybe you're inward-focused. So, Zach, you got to bring the heat, man. This is going to be a good episode. Because,
no pressure.
Because,
no pressure,
you know,
at all.
You're here in the opulent and luxurious 200 Churches podcast studio with us.
Some upgrades since last time.
Hey.
Crystal? You're talking about the crystal?
I know, the crystal lamp.
That's right. That's right. And replete with a
yeah.
with a ceramic bowl filled with multicolored peanut
that's
M&Ms.
Nice. My writer specifically said blue M&Ms, but that's all right.
There's some blues in there.
Your writer. I didn't know what you're talking about for a minute. Oh, man. We haven't had too many guests. Hey, we're going to have this week in the studio the CEO of a major international children's ministry.
That's right.
He's going to be in the studio with us. It's so ironic.
Wow.
But this is a kind of a studio where you can invite international chief executive officers.
This is the world headquarters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It is. So, Zach, you're going to have to bring the heat.
Okay.
And I want to remind people that Zach is the pastor at Red Door Church. in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just a regular church pastor, and you're going to be here, and you're going to bring incredible encouragement, inspiration, information for us today. And I just want to remind our pastor listeners that, you know, wherever you are, whatever size church, you are making an impact in your community.
Yes.
And that's what 200 Churches is all about. Yeah. So, Zach, we're excited to have you here.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming down. Thanks for braving the snow in the month of May.
The icy cold.
You know, it's 72 sunny degrees down here in Orange City, and just a half hour up the road in Sioux Falls, there's 5 inches of snow. It's crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, Zach, we were talking to you about some of the things that your church is doing for outreach, okay? And one of the things that you mentioned to me was this thing, Serve Sioux Falls, where you're getting people together to serve. Just talk to us about that. And I'm wondering if you had to connect with other churches to pull this off, if the originator of it was you or if it was somebody else, and how your church is involved.
So this all came out of a network of a few local pastors in Sioux Falls. I think it was about a year ago, we came to the idea and discussion of, we realized that so many churches in our city were doing great things, but we were all doing the same thing. So, for example, we realized that one school had like six churches working at it, but none of the six churches had any clue that other churches were working there.
Now, well, that's interesting.
The school is getting, you know, getting the benefit of it. Yeah, but we realized, why aren't we collaborating, communicating better with other churches? And I know it gets to be kind of a tough, touchy issue when you start crossing denominations and styles and all that, but we thought, could we create a network based on this idea that we could collaborate, educate one another, and coordinate better? We don't want to start anything. We're not trying to take over anything. We can come to a common unity of seeing the church, seeing Christ glorified and people reached, however your expression, your denomination does it. But how could we collaborate and coordinate better together? And so that was what started about a year ago. And out of that, we said, we need to first and foremost do something that we probably need to do across the board is, how do we educate the needs of our community? And we realized after meeting with some people, some superintendents and mayor and chief of police and some other people in the city who are very influential and very aware of the needs, we realize in the church faith community that a lot of times we have a great heart to do things, but we're not actually accomplishing or helping the needs.
Sure.
And so we decided, for us as a group, we said we need to focus on one area that we can make an impact as the faith community, and we focused in on poverty. We said, how can we, and then the city came to us and said, poverty, this is the stats, these are the issues, here's what poverty is. We said, okay, as a church, let's network together, let's educate on poverty, let's communicate how we can work, and let's coordinate ways that we can come together.
Yeah.
And so out of that has been, since this last fall, of this process of us doing monthly forums. There's about six or seven of us on this board, from Baptist background to Lutheran, Methodist, non-denominational. This is a steering committee that said, hey, let's focus in on this. And we realized right off the bat that education is a huge part of this. And it's been a huge passion of us to understand that, what is poverty? What does it actually look like? And sometimes I think the church, and I speak as a pastor, that we think the things that we do are helping poverty, but what happens is we're trying to fix a person, not a system. And so we had to realize as churches that doing a backpack program is great. It's not nothing against it, but is it really helping poverty? Are you making an impact?
Sure.
And so we have spent, you know, 6 to 8 months now of having monthly forums, inviting church leaders, pastors to come talk about what is poverty specifically in Sioux Falls and what's the rate. And honestly, if we want to get honest here, you start realizing that churches would look at this perspective saying, oh, someone in poverty, a poor person in my city is this. They don't have a job. They're lazy.
Yeah.
They struggle with alcohol. They don't value education.
Yep.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to give them free classes for alcohol. We're going to give them food. And we're going to give them money for living. And what happens is those aren't actually accurate. Someone in poor may struggle with those things.
Sure.
But predominantly in Sioux Falls, someone in poverty doesn't mean that they don't value education.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they can't They're lazy and they don't want to get a job. We found in Sioux Falls that the reason they can't get a job is that there's not enough good paying jobs.
Mm.
We found that the people who are in this poverty struggle, they want a job, they can't get one. They don't have a car, so they don't have affordable housing. They don't have, our bus system is horrible. And so they're not set up to do anything that they actually want to do. But what happens is sometimes in the faith community is we throw these things because we think, well, if you're poor, this is what you need. In reality, they need a system change. They need a busing system. They need the business community to come together and offer better paying jobs. We need better rides, better housing that would actually allow them to get into it. So those are the things that all came out of these forums as a group of saying, okay, faith community, you can keep doing your programs. I'm not saying they're bad programs. They're great things. But how can we take a step further and say, how could the church begin to tackle the poverty
issue? So you're
issue?
Not saying, let's not do any more backpack things.
No.
You're saying, how can we get beyond even that, continue to do
how
that,
but get
beyond? How
do we affect the system of poverty versus trying to fix the person?
Zach Bauer came to testify
today. I know. This is passionate for us. We've been going through this and understanding. For us, it came down to mentoring. That if we could get involved with a child's life and even with an individual, an adult, and mentor them, we can shift that needle for them that changes their system.
But how does that bring better paying jobs to Sioux Falls?
We get into the community and begin to help them with education. They become educated in their system. They value school. Kids would go through school. They're helping. There are obviously lots of systems around there to do these other things. But for us, we felt if we could go to the kids' system, we could go to schools, and the church community could start mentoring. Obviously, we have a bent towards spirituality, so we believe the hope of Jesus is going to be a huge part of this. But even if we walk alongside them, we provide a father-like figure, a mother-like figure, we are involved in their life, we're encouraging them, we're strengthening them, then they begin to value education, they begin to go through school, they learn, they recognize, and then hopefully, obviously, get into places where they get better education, they get into colleges, they become business owners, they become entrepreneurs, they become in that system where they begin to recognize how they can affect change where they're at. I think jobs come with that. I think, you know, obviously we can't do all those things, but we believe if we could get kids from the time that they're young to the time they get to college, create that 10% shift, man, what would poverty look like? What would it look like in our city if that changed? Obviously, there's other systems that can help alleviate affordable housing, and this is, it empowers a small part of what we're calling Sioux Falls Thrive, which is a government program that's working on how do we identify the problems in our city. And so the business community is approaching it from their perspective. The faith community is coming at it from this. And so the goal is how can we all work together as a community, but empower, we're a part of that I've been involved in, is focusing in on poverty within the city through the church faith community. So that's kind of the process. So we offer education, and then we're encouraging churches to join one of the three or four mentoring programs in our city that we have, which is like LSS, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. There's a couple other Christian ones. We're asking churches, get involved in these programs. Get a heart for it. Get your churches on board. Get your people serving and mentoring, because we can start to adjust that needle that we believe in our city, that shift. So that's Empower. Obviously, we'll start to focus on other things that are involved in our city. We're taking poverty at a mentoring level right now. And so that's been a huge part of what we've been doing with that, as far as getting involved in our city. And there's database, there's networking that we're trying to collaborate, work better with churches, but we're trying to just really focus in on this one issue outside of our churches as a community.
I'm hearing that when churches stop assuming that they understand the problem and actually investigate, that maybe they'll discover, hey, there's some real steps that we can take and make a difference in the life of people. Because exactly what you just said, not only is it not going to get at the root cause to assume that somebody's lazy and to, you know, just try to give them a meal and an addiction program and the, not that there's anything
wrong
with those things,
that.
But you're not getting to the heart of the issue. And I worry, and maybe this is too much, but I worry that we can start to dehumanize the very people that we are saying we want to help. We turn them into a caricature as opposed to understanding and empathizing with the situation that they found themselves in. And once you start to do that, you realize a lot of these people, maybe most of these people, are in this situation really by no fault of their own. Oh, yeah. They are born in and they are completely educated within a system that will only continue to hold them in a place of poverty. Yeah. So that's pretty serious business for the church to listen to and pay attention and say, hey, are we actually helping? Are we actually dehumanizing and hurting the very people that we say we're out to help?
I mean, you could go across America and you could get into a bigger picture of that, but you can look at your local city, your local church, and say, am I actually increasing the problem, continuing, you know, kind of feeding into the problem, or how can I actually bring impact? And I think it always comes back to that relationship. And when the faith church, the community, the individual, when they personally get involved in a life, it changes. We're really good, and I think in the community, especially in the church community, of identifying and labeling people by their needs.
Yes.
But we're not willing to know their name and actually get involved in their life. And I get it. There's fear. It's messy. It's hard. It changes. But we spent some time just in our own church focusing on what does it mean to love your neighbor. To love someone requires you to be involved. There has to be a cross-pollination. There has to be an interaction where you're involved beyond just the surface.
So how has that worked in your church? You've been involved with other community leaders, yes, pastors, organizers, but how about your people?
So we started off the series called Art of Neighboring. We took it from a book, the idea and the concept. We didn't follow the strategy of the book, but we focused on this idea of how do you love your neighbor? What is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And I think for the history of our church, it's been the most impactful in our church as a community. But we just discussed openly, what is our neighbor? What does it mean to love our neighbor? And so we brought in an expert who has done some studies in Sioux Falls on poverty. He actually spoke and preached this whole study on what is poverty in Sioux Falls. And for Sioux Falls, the actual idea, those who we consider poor are considered, we call them the working poor. They have one or two jobs. They're working. They just don't make enough to live off of. They don't make enough to get into a house. They've lost a car. They've had medical bills that piled up and it dropped them into a place. And so they're not any of those stereotypes of lazy, not willing to work, you're just feeding off the system, all these things that we sometimes easily label. They're actually trying to, but there just isn't enough ways to help them get over that hump. And so we brought in experts like that. We started focusing for our community, a lot of refugees that come to Sioux Falls. And so there are a people group in Sioux Falls that come, but we don't do a really good job at helping and connecting. There are some government services that do great, but in the faith community, how are we welcoming, loving our foreigner? And so we brought in experts that focus on the refugee and immigrants in our city. And we had open conversations with the church. And so we've addressed these issues of what does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to love? You know, this idea that love requires action, that love isn't love until it's actually demonstrated. And that's the hard part for the church sometimes, especially as Christians, that we like to say we love our neighbor, but we're not willing to demonstrate love.
Yeah.
And so we've challenged our church. We're doing, you know, we did a night where we had a kind of a prayer gathering for Syria. We invited the community to come and let's pray for those. We've talked about, we're working with some groups right now of adopting some families in the refugee program who come over to Sioux Falls. And we recognize a system within that is, an open door where they're not being met. There's some needs not being met with second and third generation refugees coming over here. And so as a church, we want to step into those. And so that's kind of what's changed our church is understanding, I would believe, the need and then how do we live in that need? How do we actually take ownership and get involved in it? And not just, and this is no reflection against any other church, but it's a lot easier for me to throw a picture up there, show someone in need, ask for an offering, and then I pat myself on my back, and then I go to my day, rest of my day. And for me, I think that's not enough. And we felt like there was something that needs to disturb us and do something. So that's a personal thing. That's a Zach Bauer red door that I feel like God has taken us in. I don't know if every church is going to have that experience, but I do believe strongly that we need to get involved in our community. And it starts with us being educated with what are the problems in our community? What is poor? What are the least of these? What are the foreigners? And then how does the church meet those needs? And I think the inroad for all of us as a faith community is we believe the component of Christ is a huge part of that. And so that's the part that we want to bring to that table. And it might happen through, you know, serving them a meal, or it might happen by mentoring them. But that would should be our heart as a church. And so that's where I think real impact begins. I don't know if it's necessarily gathering 10,000 backpacks. I think it's okay. But imagine one church in a small town in a rural adopting one family. Can you imagine the impact that would happen just to that family that's loved on, that's cared for, that's prayed over, that's helped, that's served? Imagine that one family, the change that happens. You know, so that's what we've encouraged our church, even as a small church, is that impact isn't has nothing to do with numbers and the scale of what you can do, but it's the lives that you get involved with can create many, many, many opportunities for change.
Man, echoes of Howard John Wesley, huh? From the other day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Missio Alliance Conference.
The Awakening Gathering that we were at, the local church pastor there at Alfred Street Baptist Church closed it out. And boy, did he ever bring the heat just about, you know, the systems of injustice all around us. And what are we doing as pastors to speak into it?
Zach talked. Now, we're going to get in trouble if we get into this stuff. But as Zach talked, I was thinking about our community and what we think of as this affluent white community. But there are kids in the school that go home hungry, you know? Yeah. And there are, and a lot of times, if you really want to look at it, the divisions happen on the color lines. And for us here, that's mainly Hispanic families who are immigrants. And one of the things that can hold a family back from seeking support is status, right? And now this is where I say, like, oh no, everybody's going to get their
seeking support from
anyone, from the church, from the government, from the state, from anyone.
Some people would say that status, those are the people who are seeking support and sucking resources.
Some people might say that, Jeff, okay. But that's the dividing line. A lot of times is the legal status of a family.
Okay, that's status.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you meant legal status.
Yeah, is the legal status of a family, and in the church.
Now I know why you said we could get in trouble.
That's right. We get caught up on, we can get up caught up on the wrong kinds of things, and we label and say, you know, legal, illegal. And are we asking the right kinds of questions? If there's kids in the school who are going home hungry, and if there's mothers in our community who the family shares a car and the dad works 12 hours a day, and when can they go get groceries? You know what I'm saying? And these are systemic issues that arise. Are we going to be present for people? And now, this is very personal, but this is effective for every church in America. Everybody who's listening has this community. It's not our community, but it's a community within your community. And to say, are we going to be labelers of that community? Are we going to make assumptions about that community? Or are we going to actually educate ourselves and reach across whatever cultural divide might be between us? This is like the preaching episode to me, because as you're talking, Zach, I'm just hearing incarnation, incarnation, incarnation. Yeah. We worship a God who crossed every boundary, right? And yet we're held back by, in our case, legal status. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I can't get down with that. Yeah, and maybe you're upset hearing me say that, Pastor, and I just pray on it. Just
I'm not trying
to push buttons, but I'm just saying I don't want to be in that kind of a situation. You know what I mean?
I want to believe that there is no pastor upset by what you just said.
I hope not.
Because what I heard you say was that whether the status is a legal status or an illegal status, you've got kids and you've got families, you've got moms and you've got dads, right, who are trying to hold it together, love their families, feed their families, educate their families, work and make a living. And as a church and as believers in Jesus Christ, we're to love and help everyone. There is no status that removes somebody from the love and the help of a local church, a follower of Jesus Christ, period. There's no status. There's no status.
You heard it here first. Jeff Cady advocating for sanctuary churches.
No.
Yeah. Hey, no,
I don't want to get into the terms, because there are people that hear sanctuary churches and they have all these things
in their
minds.
That's what I'm talking about.
But what I'm talking about is just loving and helping people in your community. And you can't go around asking, as a church and as believers, we don't go around asking for documentation on people before we give them opportunity and help them and assist them with their lives. Now, maybe there are some people that would disagree with that. But again, we're talking about local church ministry. We're talking about being followers of Jesus.
Hey, Zach got into it, not me.
In any country, on earth, we're going to want to help people. And there's going to be governmental rules and regulations in every country on earth. But they don't supersede kingdom living with people.
And I'm sorry, Zach. We'll bring you back in here. I'm thinking back to our episode with Jamar, several weeks ago now.
Right.
And talking about how the systems in place are privileging some people at the expense of other people. And sometimes it's a good thing to help. Is it enough? Like you just said, what was missing in your sermon? Because it's missing in you. How then do you make that shift and stand in prophetic witness against a system of injustice? Are you into that situation yet, Zach?
Come on, pushback from?
Yeah, where you feel like you're standing and saying, what's up with the transportation system around here?
I think,
you know what I mean?
As a church, as I would believe, our personal church is beginning to get a place of recognizing that their system's wrong. The system is broken, okay? I'm not pointing fingers at whose fault it is. It's just the system is not set up to help those who are in need and to help them really achieve what they can achieve and what they want to achieve. I think the larger picture is I think the faith community as a whole can help arise to that and either bring solutions or challenge the system and the government to say, let's provide this, let's do this.
Yeah.
I think initially there are things that we're going to be able to step up and say, hey, we can do this. You know, we've just an example. We've jokingly kind of talked about this, but we've talked about as transportation's. If Sioux Falls Parks and Rec are listening, our bus system is horrible.
I hope they are listening.
Yeah, it's not set up for anything to help someone who has a job, who doesn't have a car, get to their job in certain parts of the city.
Yeah.
So we've joked about it. How could we create a free Uber-like carpooling for those who need job, who need rides? And I've been talking with a few people who work with the refugee community. That's what they need help with. A lot of times when you're mentoring a family, they need to get picked up from this job and taken here, and it's at 9 o'clock at night or it's 10 o'clock at night. And the bus systems aren't running at some of those times and opportunities. And so we're like, okay, how can we connect with some families in the refugee community and say, we want to be a support. We're not here to hand out something. We're not here to just, to give and to walk away. We want to be involved in life. And what can we do to help? Is that giving you a carpool? Is that, helping do English classes with you? Whatever it might be. And hopefully that begins to create some areas that we can address at a larger scale.
Right.
But I think it as a whole, Empower Sioux Falls is this idea of the faith community. We need to step into this. And we would focus on kids, saying it's not the kids' fault. It's not their problem that the parents are in this poverty level or they're using the system. When a child is involved, I don't care if their parent is using the system.
Right.
The kid is at stake. They need a place to sleep. They need food. They need education. They need all we can do
amen,
to help.
Amen,
so
amen.
That's where I think we can step into that and go, that's where we're at. The parents are taking advantage of the system, so be it.
Right.
We can bring change to a child and to help walk with them and encourage them, to help them change that system. Then I think that's the win for us.
We had Nicole.
That's great.
We had Nicole on weeks ago.
Yeah.
She talked about being abused. Yeah. She talked about going into her classroom and saying things to her teacher, dropping little breadcrumbs, hoping her teacher would pick up on it and help her.
Mm-hmm.
And they never did.
Oh, yeah.
They never did. So you're talking about helping kids. Yeah, they're in no fault of their own. Are they in the situation they were in, whether they've lived here all their life or they were brought in? They're kids, right? And so we have to help people, period, as followers of Jesus. That's important.
Yeah, and I think that's the – I think I feel like in Sioux Falls, I can only speak to my community, is that there are some things coming to the surface now. There are churches starting to recognize – what poverty is, and what is it, how do you bring impact? And again, relationships are going to be key to this. It's getting involved. You know, we can't, I mean, I look at, you know, heroes in the faith of just recent day of like Francis Chan, who, you know, takes people in his home and they live with them. And it's just radical elements as an example of someone who's willing to give anything to help someone progress. It wasn't a handout. It wasn't something just to add to the system, but it was something that was giving somebody an opportunity with what, with relationship and with that opportunity to step forward. I just think of how much the church could impact in our small rural towns, the big cities, if we just started focusing on families in our area, within our churches, within the reach of what could happen if small impacts like that could happen. And that, I think, is the heart of Empower, is saying, hey, enough is enough, churches. We all have our programs. We all have our things that we do. We all have our boards and meetings and all this stuff. Yeah. But what if we could come together and collaborate and communicate and work together to solve and to focus in on this problem? And that's what the heart of Empower is trying to do right now. And out of this has come a project that we've kind of partnered with a bunch of other Lifelight and Lifelight Global and Volunteers of America to come together to create a bigger system in our city to help people serve and to go outside of their comfort zones.
Can I just say that we need you younger pastors to do this and to help us older pastors to really understand what you're talking about in terms of getting beyond just our meetings and our boardrooms and actually helping the community. So if you're an older pastor, you men and women, those of us, let's say 50, 45, 50 and over, we need to learn from the younger generation. Because Zach, how old are you?
34.
34 years old. And the things you're talking about, the things that you're doing, Johnny, you're 30. You understand all this stuff. Us older pastors, we need to learn from you. And we need to begin. We need a renaissance of learning in the older generation so that we can kind of start again, get a little rebirth of what it means to do ministry in the communities of the 21st century and not keep living as though it's still the 1970s or 80s. I struggle with that because I am naturally, I just naturally have this bent toward, you know, when I was 20 and 30. And the opportunity to hang out with you guys and people in your generation for the last 7 years has been awesome for me. So I just want to encourage that.
So, Zach, you're talking about a coalition of churches came together with this goal or with this idea in mind. How do you, I mean, I live in a town, we've got about 5,500 people and 17, 18 churches. Okay. We don't work that great together. Like once a year we do something together when we wave our pom poms. Otherwise it's terrible. So how do you build a coalition? How do you cross and say, hey, you in the Methodist church, you in the Lutheran church, you in the Baptist church, how do you cross the boundaries and say, let's do this thing together?
You know, it's taken some work putting it together. Obviously, there's inroads into certain churches, and you got to start collaborating the idea. But we came to when we brought this to the table, I wasn't a part of the original team, but it came on shortly after. The focus was, is how can we lay down our personal preferences and philosophies to unite together to see God move in our city? And we left it at that. We looked at how that looks and how that plays out. It'll be determined by each group. But we wanted to come together and say, let's unify in one thing that Jesus calls us to love and to serve those in our city. And we can do that and not get into any theological, doctrinal arguments.
Yeah, right.
And so that's how we got people to the table. We said, let's come together. What can we do better together? And we always bring this up as saying, we always believe that we are much better together. And if that's one focus, if that's a couple different things, and depending on your city, your town, your area, is what is the common thing that every church recognizes is a problem or an issue or something that's happening? More than likely, every church is probably trying to do some part to fix that or to help out with that.
Yeah, that's true.
And so coming to the table and saying, hey, we all know that this A is the problem. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Could we collaborate together? We're not looking to take over. I mean, I think when you start throwing out the word coalition and network, I know churches and denominations get weird and get worried about, oh, you're creating. We try to communicate right off the bat. This is not something we're not taking over a ministerial group. We're not trying to create a nonprofit. We just want to create a place that we can have open dialogue to communicate and to resource each other. We're not even requiring you to work with that church and to do that with that church, but we're asking, could you come to the table and possibly work together? And that might be a food program. It might be a backpack program. It might be a housing thing. And maybe one or two churches are excelling at it in your community. What if your church jumped on with them and said, hey, you're doing a great job with this. We want to help, just supply volunteers. Imagine the witness you'd be in the community. Imagine what other churches and other community leaders would say that, hey, those two churches that we would think are unlikely ever to be together are actually coming together to serve the people in our city better. It's going to take openness. It's going to take some, you know, possibly some of the smaller communities. There might be things that you have to work back in and resolve and kind of walk through. But even in the Church of Sioux Falls, I mean, we have, you know, 250 plus churches in our city, and we're getting, you know, 20 to 30 coming to the table regularly to say, hey, we care about this issue of poverty. We want to be a part of it somehow. And so it just takes time. It takes a group. It takes a heart. And I think any church and any community can rally the community together and start recognizing what it is that we can do together to help this. And I in Power Sioux Falls, I know we would help any community, any town, any church that's listening. We have resources. We're putting together information and resources to help groups start this. And so if there's anyone that's listening saying, hey, I want something that Empower's doing, contact us, go to our website, empowersiouxfalls.com, and we'll send you stuff. We'll help. We'll give resources. That's our heart, is to help create this in these different communities.
Very cool.
No excuses. You can go to empowersiouxfalls.com to get information. Zach, you're an inspiration, man. This has been... Really good. Very enjoyable. I mean, we've talked about issues that, you know, are in the news these days, but we haven't talked about these issues. Like, we didn't get these issues from the news. Mm-hmm. We're not politicians or anything like that. We're just talking about helping people in our communities.
Yes.
It's what Jesus called us to do. And, you know, one day somebody said, you know, Jesus, who's my neighbor? And all of us pastors know how that went, right? So everybody's our neighbor, and we get the opportunity to live incarnationally as churches in our community. So, Zach, thank you for helping us encourage small church pastors today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Great time with Zach Bauer.
Oh, man.
Wonderful time. Look forward to talking with him again someday.
We were like, oh, will Zach have more to say? Yes. The answer is yes. Zach has more to say.
Yeah.
I mean, so great. And he's got a great voice for this, too.
He does. He's got a dry wit. I think it was...
true.
I think it was a couple months ago when he was on, and he said something about, oh, yeah, I always listen to your podcast. What was the name of it again? and then he just kind of chuckles.
I love it.
He's a good guy. So if you weren't challenged with what you can do in your community to actually make a difference, it is so true. Johnny, I was just listening to a guy, I'm not going to remember his name, talking about how churches left to themselves just grow inward.
Yeah.
Churches, there's this life cycle of a church, and after a while, all the energy in the church is going toward making happy all of the members of the church.
Right, right.
And there's no thought and no energy reaching outside of the four walls of the church and reaching people who don't know Jesus yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as Zach talked about, you know, how to help the community, how to reach the community, how to make a difference in somebody's life, I hope that you were challenged by that.
Got my blood pumping, Jeff. Got it pumping. If it got your blood pumping, you should tell us that. We're doing our semi-annual ask for a rating and review plug now.
Every other 6 months, Johnny.
Is this like alienating to our listeners?
No.
That we announce that mockingly that we're asking, instead of just naturally being like, hey, and if you leave a rating and review on iTunes, it really helps our visibility. But truly, it does help. And we've picked up some more listeners here and there and everywhere along this crazy journey.
You know what really helps? I've heard the latest in iTunes land.
Yeah.
What really helps is not so much the ratings or reviews. They're helpful. But what really helps is if you subscribe on iTunes to the 200 Churches podcast.
There you go.
So if you have an iPhone, get on your podcast app and...
Why aren't you subscribed already?
And get subscribed.
What is the worst that can happen if you subscribe? That every week you'll get encouraged and challenged? Oh, boo-hoo.
No, you know what's the worst that can happen is...
waste space on your phone?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
A, you don't listen to it and your phone gets bogged down because you got all these... You know what I do, though?
Technically, that's the worst that can happen.
I have all my settings from the podcast that I listen to.
Yeah.
Keep the most recent two.
Yes.
So if I don't listen to it, it drops off. And
there
I've always got the latest two.
Jeff is giving you hot tips right now for how to subscribe and how to leave a rating and review. And you know what? If you are in another country, your ratings and reviews, they mean more to us. I'm just going to be honest. Call it like it is?
Johnny, I pay
I love them more.
I pay $5 a month.
Tell them, Jeff.
$5 a month.
Tell them.
Just to get international and United States ratings and reviews.
Are we making that money back on this?
No. No, but when somebody gives us a review in another country.
We get to see it.
It's a long story, but you can't just see it on iTunes easily.
Right.
But I'll get the reviews wherever in the world they come in.
We're literally paying to see your reviews, so please leave them. Otherwise, it's money wasted.
I like that, Johnny.
You like that?
I like that.
How's that for a pitch?
Every week I get an email, and either it says two new reviews, and it shows me them, or it says no new reviews.
Do you cry a little tear?
I don't anymore. I don't. But
you have calloused Jeff. I want you to know, dear listener, that you have calloused Jeff's heart.
If my emotions had to ride the waves of whether or not our listeners gave me a review, no, but that's true. We do pay to read their reviews.
We do.
And every time I get one, Johnny, do I not forward it to you?
Every time
I send it to you,
and I do a little dance.
They're encouraging.
This is what keeps us going. Honest to God, this is what keeps us going. It's emails and reviews and ratings and people telling us that this makes a difference to them. So please let us know.
If you're still listening to the episode at this point.
You're not. There's seven people now.
If you are.
Scott Dalen is.
You need counseling.
Ray Hollenbeck is not.
You need counseling or you need coaching.
There you go.
One of the two.
Ray Hollenbeck should be listening because he could pick up some people.
Ray Hollenbeck or Dave Jacobs, give
there
them a call.
There you go.
Hey, so good to talk with Zach today. Really hope that it helped you, and we hope you leave us a review. So thank you for listening to the 200 Churches Podcast.
We hope you've been encouraged and inspired by this episode of the 200 Churches Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe at 200churches.com and receive the guy's free PDF download called Our 7 Favorite Ministry Resources. You can count on us to be back next Wednesday with another brand new shiny episode just for you. Until then, may God bless you as you lead and love the people in your 200 church.
Every week I do this thing. I've got to put this... That it used to be I could just do the episode and then just, zip it up and send it out. But no, every week, outtakes. They take minutes, but not hours. Okay, here's the only outtake for this episode. Are you ready? Here it is. This is it. So...
Sorry, I cut you off and enter.
No, my mind just went blank. It did. It just
comfort.
It's age. It just went blank.
Well, I'm talking about people.
Oh, yeah. So that's the outtake. I don't have any more outtakes. I'm really sorry, but I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Bum, bum, bum.